Faces and ears of all the fauna and flora of those rooms returned into extramata, and all they could hear was the fading echo of Krishna's flute, which continued to reverberate in their hearts. The question naturally arises, why would they continue to live in such agonizing circumstances if they did not even want to live? And the answer, they all knew deep within their hearts, that if so much as one bird or bee or flower, or insect, or blade of grass were to die, Krishna would inevitably come to know of it. And he too would die of a broken heart. And so, for Krishna's pleasure, he continued the Vrijadasis to maintain their lives by their thoughts and talks and songs of his kindness, mercy, and love. some point comes that himself might come. Not that Krishna was afraid of Kamsa, but he was actually afraid of the Brijavasis, or their response, that if they saw with their own eyes Krishna having to confront Kamsa, that would just be unbearable anxiety. Furthermore, the lives of Vasudeva and Devaki, which means the future of the Jada dynasty, lay in the balance. And Krishna had to tend to the bonds of duty while trying to balance that with the bondage of love, which the Vasudevas held the roads to. So the night before Krishna's departure, and early the next morning, when the news began circulating through Nandagrava and Varshana that Krishna was leaving, Mother Yashoda, she couldn't fathom, what do you mean? Krishna leaving? What does that mean? Where did he go? And then when Nanda Maharaj tried in various ways to explain it to her, and it finally registered a little bit, her immediate response was to hide Krishna behind the closet, behind the curtain, behind the altar. But everywhere she hid Krishna, it wasn't sufficient. She was just frantically running around the house. And then she vowed to stop the sun from rising. And she threatened the demigods that they participated in this lila. And it was only Nanda Maharaj's promise, I'll go with him and be sure to bring him back. That pacified Mother Yashoda to a slight degree, because the queen had some faith in the words of King Nanda, but the princess did not. So why didn't they just go with Krishna? Furthermore, it was really for the sake of the Brijavasis that Krishna left, because he was observing that for the years of his presence in Vrajabhumi, the ecstasy of union with him had driven them to a state of madness which threatened their very lives and needed to be balanced by a corresponding mood of separation. Because in the ecstasy of union with Krishna, they were too fearful of separation, and or imminent separation. But in separation, they would be more immersed in the joy of meeting Krishna. So he understood it's time to facilitate that balance. And from the perspective of Chaitanya Lila, which is the process following Lord Brahma's footsteps and going deeper and deeper and deeper as he asked Brahma Nandarai. He finally said, I've never heard anybody ask to go beyond this point. I don't know if anything that lies there. But you're speaking through me, so I'll serve in this way. So in union with the Lord, the Christ expressed in the words of the Devasis, then we prefer to stay in Braj than to go with Krishna. Now, if she went to Radharani went, that would be a different matter. But their preference to the Dham over the association with Krishna is only apparent, because Krishna is found most tangibly in the relationships between the devotees and between the devotees and their Lord. And the Dham, what is Dham? It's an interesting, it's a deep dynamic. We refer to the Dham as Balaram, some unipotency manifest, which is Balaram, who expands himself as the Dham. We refer to the Dham as she, because in another perspective, the Dham is the function of the other. It's Yulasha. And it also contains some bit, cognizance. The Dham is a dynamic of loving relationships, past and present, including future influences. And in those relationships, Krishna is most tangibly present, accessible, and attainable. And therefore, we are not encouraged to pursue a relationship with Krishna. We are encouraged to develop the attitude of what Mahaprabhu himself identified with. Not Brahman Chatriya Vaishya Shudra, nor Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sinas, Gopi Bhakti Padakama Lehara Das Das. So the Dham is like a container. More specifically, you consider the analogy of a vase or vase, depending on where you're from, which has the function of holding flowers. Now, in a bouquet, there's no one flower that's predominant over the others. The beauty of the bouquet is the synergy, the assemblage of the various distinct flavors and colors and patterns and shapes, the delicate assemblage of which demonstrates the delicate assemblage of our heart's affections, which when combined harmoniously and cooperatively with other devotees, makes the arrangement where Krishna prefers to make his eternal residence. The Leela of Lord Garanga is Chana. Is Chana, which means concealed. And he's the only avatar who is not explicitly mentioned in Shastra prior to his appearance and during his lila. All the other avatars, details are given. Where they'll be born, who are their parents, what their power associates serve, and what is the mission, name, form, and function. This is not described in scripture regarding Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Only in concealed, indirect ways, but is nevertheless recognizable as the hidden import of all Shastra, who has strived since time immemorial to proclaim proclaim was insufficiently equipped to succeed. Jiva Goswami asked the question when Lord Nityananda was leading him on Parikrama through Navadvipa. What does Antardvipa mean? Because Antar means secret. And what's the secret? Lord Nityananda explained the story of who was observing from behind the clouds Krishna, because at the time that Agra turned his eyes upwards, the devas had to hide, they were so terrified. And he saw how Krishna is so effortlessly nonchalantly killed that demon who terrorized all the demigods. And Brahma was thinking, this must be God. But then, when Krishna sat down with his gopas for lunch, and Brahma was watching these exchanges, and they opened their lunch boxes prepared by their mothers, some used leaves and some used rocks and different things for plates, and they began to sample their mother's affection and the taste of their cooking. And then the cowherd boys were, they'd sample something, and, hey, Krishna, try this. And they'd take it out of their mouth and offer it to Krishna, and he'd take it and sample that. He'd say, well, that's good. You boys are sons of farmers, I'm the son of the king, so try this. And then he'd sample Mother Yashoda's cooking and share it with the boys. And then he'd take the remnants from there out, and all this exchange is immersed in the gopas, in a kind of ecstasy in which they completely forgot that Krishna and God. But Brahma couldn't forget the killing of Arjuna. Only my father Narayan had such potencies. Could this child be some form of my father Narayan? And my father Narayan would never eat the remnants of gopas. Who is this child? So the lila which followed. And it's very wonderful how when Brahma came down and offered his prayers to Krishna, very sincere, heartfelt prayers, and he didn't really commit an offense as far as having any enmity within his heart. He just wanted to know, who is this child? He didn't have envy. But he took it as an offense because he disturbed Krishna's play with gopas. Krishna lost sight of the gopas for a while, and he was tormented by it. So Brahma felt responsible for an offense, and with his eloquent prayers, he begged Krishna's forgiveness. And as Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains it, Krishna dutifully heard Brahma's prayers, but couldn't wait for them to end, because in his mind he's thinking, who is this four-headed personality? And where did he come from? And what is he talking about? I can't understand any of this. I just want to find my friends. So he didn't even say anything to Brahma. He did not respond with so much as a word. He just... And then Brahma returned to his abode feeling so utterly miserable that he displaced the Lord. So, in the depths of his heart, he realized Krishna will come again in a more merciful form. I will take shelter of him. So he came to Antardvipa. The central stamen of the lotus of Navadvipa, of which each island represents and facilitates one of the processes of devotional service. Antardvipa being the heart of the matter, representing Atmanivedan and full self-surrender. That is where the Lord appears, in the heart of such a surrendered soul. So Brahma came down there and performed severe tapasya for a long time, still wrote it when they appeared to him. And that time they had a conversation. And Lord Gauranga revealed the intimate details and reasons for his upcoming appearance. And he told Brahma that your desire to become one within a blade of grass will be fulfilled when you take birth in a Muslim family, where you will be condemned and rejected by Muslims because you chant Hare Krishna, and you'll be condemned and rejected by the Hindus because you're born in a Muslim family. So as an outcast to both worlds, you will have my shelter wholeheartedly. And your desire in that life to see me at the time you quit this world will be fulfilled. So now, keep this secret within your heart and serve the eternal desire to stop. Why is it so secret? Because various reasons. Foremost of which you might say, is the Lord wanted to experience the ecstasies of devotional service. He did not want to be reminded that he's God. And he put on a good display to such an extent that he even forgot that he was God. If the scriptures have proclaimed in a clear way his advent, he could not have deluded the world into believing that he was a devotee, or himself even. And he wanted to teach devotional service. There is no point for another avatar, because Krishna had recently appeared in this world and concluded his teachings with Sarvadharma Pratyajana Mekam Shadanamata, but who surrendered? Hardly anyone. And as Srila Prabhupada explains it, the jiva soul who is envious by nature, who is this person telling you to surrender? So there's no point in another avatar to do the same. But as we were discussing yesterday, the Lord has two features, the feature who is served and the feature who serves. And Radha and Krishna stand together, they're on equal footing. But when the Lord, who is served, recedes to the background, and the Lord who serves assumes the foreground, that form of the Lord is even more charming, affectionate, loving, and influential than the Lord who is served. That is the power of bhakti, which conquers even the Lord. And when Bhakti Devi reveals her nature within the heart of a pure devotee, that is more influential than the Lord himself, in inspiring us and leading us on the path of surrender. Furthermore, Bharatvarsha was so infected at the time with the teachings of Shankaracharya that the goal of life is samabhanam, is to become one with God, which means to be God, which is very offensive to the Lord, because some of that is. So with so many exalted from the intellectual perspective, like Aprasananda Saraswati and Sahagavama Bhattacharya, teaching how to become God with tens of thousands of disciples who are austere and have intellect beyond what most Vaishnavas can imitate or match. There is no need for another Narayana. There is a need for a servant of the servant of the servant to confront these exalted acharyas in the line of Shankara and defeat them to proclaim the glory. context and during his lila that the scriptures, carefully guarded by Yogamaya, kept the indications of Gauranga's advent and purpose concealed, hidden from public view, but disclosed in such a way that the humble and wise devotees could detect the most wonderful avatar to come in the 28th of the year, in the name of Adishatamani. Because the devotees, they know him as he is, and they long to please him by increasing their devotional service and love, so they can see what to others remains invisible. But that's before and during the Lord's Leela. I think Kananda continues to explain that after his Leela was completed, then there was no longer need to keep the secret concealed. And at that time, by Lord Nityananda's inspiration, in Yogamaya's service, all the secrets hidden within the heart of all the previous scriptures became evident and disclosed, even to public view, while simultaneously all the yet unrevealed scriptures began to manifest, and all difficulties in understanding the identity of the Gauratatra came to an end by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and his servants. Furthermore, Braj Prem is a topic so intimate and so intense that it's likely to be misunderstood by persons who are misled into thinking that this is some kind of lust. When Radha comes to Krishna, the perverted mind can think like that. And therefore, amongst other reasons, Lord Gauranga took sannyas to demonstrate that his infatuation with Krishna was a mood of such pure in the assembly of Advaita, where the devotees were just tormented by the envious, atheistic population which surrounded them and continually hurled the cruelest invectives and vicious persecutions toward them. But in the shelter of Advaita, and especially hearing the discourses of Vishwaroop, the devotees forgot all their sorrows. Nobody went home for lunch. And Mother Sati was anxious because she made lunch for Vishwaroop. So she said, Nimai, we'll bring him. And when Nimai came into the assembly of the Vaitacharyas, the Krishna Kirtan, the Krishna Gita, everything stopped. And all eyes turned towards him only. Continue the kirtan. And as the kirtan resounded in the house of Advaita, Nimai came running back. And the kirtan ended again. And Advaita asked, and to Nimai, what brings you back? He said, you were calling me by name, so I would come. And he laughed and ran out. And the devotees turned back to Advaita. What does this mean? I don't know. The power of yoga maya, the Lord's own internal energy, bewilders even the devotees from realizing, because Advaita was continuing to pray on the bank of the Ganges to Ishala Ramashila with roars resounding through Vaikuntha, interspersed with tender cries of reaching He didn't realize that the Lord was living next door, coming to his house every day as he fervently prayed for the Lord to come. He didn't gradually begin to dawn on him that no one has charm like this Nimai except Krishna. Could it be? Could it be that this child playing naked in the streets and just causing mischief everywhere in Nadia could be the Lord? I have called to come to deliver the world. And no, it can't be. That makes no sense. But then when the Lord came before him, it must be Krishna. And how can it be? So, and the Lord became so immersed in his studies, he just forgot everything else. And in no time, student of Pandita's Pandit, who is Sandipani Muni, of Krishna. He put him in charge of the whole university. Little Nimai became the professor teaching students decades older than him. And he won the universal admiration of everyone in creation except for the Vaishnavas. They could not share this appreciation because it was purely secular. And they would address him, Nimai, what is the use of all your learning if you don't serve Krishna? The purpose and goal of all wisdom is to understand, love, serve, and surrender to Krishna. Without that, it's all useless. It simply leads to death and ignorance. So, I am fortunate to be instructed by you. I don't have a guru. How can I know these things? I will find a guru to take shelter of. And I will receive a quality of love of God from him that will bring Rama, Shiva, Narada, Shukra to my doorstep begging for alms in the form of bhakti. You will see. And they thought, we hope so. function of the various avatars who come to Yadayudhakidharmasyadhamidhakidharata. But he didn't go out and kill demons like he did Krishna and his Akamsa and his associates, because these were another kind of demons of intellectual prowess who were propagating wicked doctrines, killing the spiritual prospects of everyone on the earth. So Nimai, the great professor, would go out into the streets and proclaim his challenge. Who will dare to meet with me in public controversy? And after a few of those controversies, all the professors scattered whenever he entered into the streets. Because he would ask questions which no one could understand. The intricacies and riddles contained in his every question. It would silence all opponents. So I can answer my question. And he answered. The answer was more baffling than the question. Then he would refute his answer with riddles and logic and puzzles that was more bewildering than ever, establishing his thesis, which he would next refute with his antithesis. And he's challenging anybody find any fault with my question or answer or thesis or... And he just hit it. Even when Keshava Kashmir, who was so intimidating to the pundits of Nadia, who would not normally be concerned with a pundit from afar, had they not known and believed that he was the most favored of Saraswati, who assured him that he would appear on his tongue no matter whatever topic he spoke. So they all fled the Keshava Kashmir, but they were thinking, maybe he should meet with Nimai. Even if he defeats Nimai, we could say, this is a child. But Nimai might just defeat him. He might not forgive him. But then, after going to Gaya to perform Pinda, the mission of being Ishwara Purira, seeing the footsteps, the footprints of Gadadhar, hearing the Dhamma's praise, and then by chance Ishwara Puri arrived. Because all this time, in his triumphs of learning, the feelings of his heart, which he kept powerfully repressed, were gathering more and more strength. And he pitied that the deplorable decadence of his hometown. He felt the gravity of the situation of the world. He regretted the turn from bad to worse that was the outcome of the Vaishnava's preaching. And he longed to lead the Sankirtan movement and inaugurate preaching from door to door. But to honor the etiquette, he would not do so without the instructions of the spiritual master. And as we discussed yesterday, Ishwara Puri, due to his exquisitely humble service attitude, completely imbibed the relationship which Mother Kendra Puri had with Gopal. So then he begged Ishwara Puri for the mantra. Please accept me as your disciple. And Ishwara Puri said, you can't deceive me, Pandit. Since the first time I saw you in Nadia, nothing else has any place on the altar within my heart. Seeing you, I feel the same sentiments as seeing Krishna face to face. I know who you are, Pandit. You ask me for the mantra, I want to give you my heart, my life, my everything. born. You must fill the limitless universes to the resounding song of your holy name. And you have come to this world to distribute that flame. It's not time for you to go to Vrindavan now. You will have the opportunity in the future. Reminded of his mission by the devas, and gathered with the students and returned to Nandu. But when he returned, and the devotees saw that the prayer that he become a devotee had been answered, when they all congregated at the house of Srivas, where a Kalpa Vriksha would provide unlimited flowers for all the devotees to use in the worship of their deities. And they were picking flowers. And Sri Manupandit arrived. And he was clearly in a kind of ecstasy that nobody had seen him before. What is the reason? There certainly is one. What is it? Our prayers have been answered. Manupandit has not only become a devotee, but he has become such a devotee. And he told us that the burning anguish in his heart cannot be revealed in public, but he needs to share it with us when we come to Shukumbhara's house. And they went and waited in great anticipation. And the Lord Garuda came in, and he embraced the pillar, which collapsed under his weight. What is Shukumbhara doing? And he revealed what happened at Kanayanathasana. On the way back, in Kanayanathasana, I was approached by this young Gopa, by the sapphire complexion, and flute in his hands, and so charming were his lotus eyes, encircled by the wavy hair cascading down the sides of his moonlight face. He looked at me with such love. And he approached me, and just when he was ready to embrace me, he disappeared. I go, who knows where? Where is Krishna? Where is he gone? He fell at the feet of all the devotees, pleading with them, save my life. Bring me that Gopa, the son